there. I'm Josh.
And I'm Jade. And on this episode of Our Taste is Trash,
we review the Christmas thriller, Violent Night,
discuss the controversies of Squid Game The Challenge,
and give our controversial opinion on the movie Elf.
So remember to rate, review, and follow wherever you listen.
Stick around.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Welcome, welcome into another episode of Our Taste is Trash. I'm Josh.
And I'm Jade.
And Jade, there's a lot to talk about this week in both TV, movies, and just in general news. One of the things I feel like we can't not talk about this show is, one, until just a few days ago, or about a week ago, Henry Kissinger was still alive, which I had no idea that man was still drawing breath anywhere on this planet.
Same. I was literally like, when I saw, like, they were just like talking about, they're like, Henry Kissinger just died. And I was like, I thought that man was dead forever ago. I was like, the motherfucker's still alive. Like,
what? He died in like the Clinton administration. Like,
No.
That was 100. How do you tear? I thought, if you're that much of a terrible human being, you like die in your 80s because
it like eats away at you, right? Slowly.
God, I would think so. Yeah. I mean, literally, like, responsible for what? The death of like 5, 6, 7 million people, something in that realm, somewhere in that.
Something around that range. Yeah.
Yeah. You know? No, I love.
Just a war criminal.
Makes me miss Anthony Bourdain so much because I think, probably much like you, Jade, Henry Kissinger's death has been all over your TikTok feed. Yeah. Have you seen the one where the girl like got up and was screaming at him at an event like 3 years ago in Washington or something, basically calling him a war criminal, and she gets dragged out?
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, happy anniversary to this now that he's dead. And I was like, good for you. Someone's out there doing the things that should be done. Like, good for
informing
you.
Informing the people. Yeah.
But I love this quote from Anthony Bourdain because he fucking hated Henry Kissinger multiple times, threatened that if he ever met the man that he was going to punch him in the face and beat the fuck out of him. Because he wrote, I love this. He goes, once you've been to Cambodia, you'll never stop wanting to beat Henry Kissinger to death with your bare hands. Like, he goes on and on and talks, but he basically just says, you can't help but essentially see his handiwork everywhere going to Cambodia, and it just makes you fucking want to go insane with rage on what he did to like Southeast Asia, just indiscriminately carpet bombing the entire region.
Yeah, no, he's disgusting, and I hope he's like burning in hell, even though I don't believe in hell, but you know.
Hopefully he's somewhere terrible, like somewhere, you know, if there's an afterlife, I hope that, you know, Anthony Bourdain is waiting for him.
Or if he's like reincarnated, he's like reincarnated as like a pig in slaughter, you know what I mean?
Yeah, something terrible, something just fucking horrible, because fuck that guy, you know? I hope Anthony Bourdain's there waiting for him if there's an afterlife to beat the fuck out of him and just, you know, say,
he's
fuck
like,
you.
So finally we meet.
We meet. Just smoking a cigarette. Like.
Oh my God, absolutely.
Well, Jade, speaking though of TV stars, there was, and shows, there was something we both watched. We didn't know about this until we just started talking pre-show, and it's one of the new series that just dropped on Netflix. I feel like it was, you probably did the same thing, Jade. To me, it just seemed like an easy watch that I really didn't have to pay attention to, and I was like, why the fuck not? Let's see where this goes. Squid Game, The Challenge.
Oh, I did not view it as an easy watch. Really? I've been looking forward to this for a year since they announced it. Yeah. Really? I'm like, you act like this is just a stumble upon show. Like,
this is,
I have known
upon.
About this for
it's not a
long time.
Stumble upon. But like, to me, I was the opposite, Jane. I was not looking forward to it. And this by far exceeded my expectations.
No, I knew exactly what it was going to be because I've been watching Netflix's other like Korean reality competition shows that I feel like we're all inspired by Squid Game, which is Physical 100,
true.
The Devil's Plan. So when they announced there was actually going to be a Squid Game competition, I was like, yeah, fuck yeah. Like, I'm down for it. So yeah, I think they release like 2 or 3 episodes a week for the last like 3 weeks or so. So there's one episode left until the finale. But this game, the show, is so well done. Because literally they give you like heroes to root for and villains to go against. like the contestants, you know what I mean? And you follow their stories and you fall in love with these people. And then you watch them quote unquote die, which is like these ink packs in their chest go off. So it's like they've been shot like in the show, but they're black. So I feel like it's less gory than red, you know? I think one of my favorite parts about that though is like everyone just like goes with it and they like fall down like they're actually dead and it's great.
They fucking sell it. Yeah. Like the best
they
part.
They sell it.
The marble so good. Game is the best because like it's just
the most dramatic.
Yeah, it's two people playing fucking marbles and then like when they hand the marbles to the guard and then they're like that's it.
And they're and out.
Then
like, and then one person like, leaves and everyone's like and they like and they fall over into the ground. It's so
especially
good.
When they do it face down, it's the best. Like they're just like face down in the sand and the other person's walking away from their body. And I'm like, this is
so dramatically. Yes. I'm like, this is what I came here for. This is what I wanted to see. And then like,
this is as close as we get to modern day gladiator games. Like this is it.
The drama. So like my favorite person on the show sadly got eliminated by like towards the end.
Who's your favorite?
See, he came with his mom and I forget his name. Is it like Gary? No, it's not Gary.
No.
It's an old man name.
It feels like a Gary though. Like he looks like a Gary. Like,
But anyways, he comes with his like kind of elderly mother and they have this close bond the whole time. And the whole time he's like, you know, like he's like making alliances with people and he's like, you guys got to protect my mom. Like if I leave here, like you have to look out for her. It's like this sweet thing. She's a badass. Like she gets all the way to the marble. And of course it's the trickery, right? They're like, we gave you guys a picnic. You pick a friend to eat your picnic with. And,
I can't believe no one caught that. In my mind, I was like, this is it. I was like, do this not pick someone you like. Like I would have picked someone I fucking hated. And I would have been like, 100%. Let's do this. Like, let's do this.
Like enemies. Let's go. Yeah. But like, of course, you know, so he picks his mother and then they end up having to go up against each other during the Marvel game. And it was so because you would have imagined that she was like they were gonna die, you know what I mean? Like this was actually really life or death the way the emotion was like. And the when the winner, and I won't say here to spoil it, but when one of the winners walks away, I literally cried. And I was like, this is what I'm here for. I want this draw. I want this. And then like they had a really good villain for like the first half of the show. Like he was great. I loved him as a villain. It was actually kind of sad to see him leave as early as he did, but they did kind of, we did get a new villain later on
as people
reveal themselves a little bit. So now it's down to the final three. I'm obsessed with one of the contestants and the final three that I'm like, I want to see them win. But there's been some controversy with the show. In case anyone hasn't heard,
it's like all these lawsuits, right?
No, so it's one potential lawsuit. Okay. Nothing has actually been filed with the government. So this lawsuit basically has been drafted in England because the show was filmed in England, which is why there were so many British contestants. But it states, I think it was like two or three people are named in the suit as the victims or the plaintiff, whatever. And apparently it was during the very first game, the red light, green light game. One contestant got hypothermia and the other one has, they said, nerve damage. Because apparently when they were filming the red light, green light game, it took about like 3 to 5 hours. The exact time hasn't been confirmed, but between each time when you had to freeze during the red light, it was like 15 minutes of standing. Yeah.
No, I've seen this all over my TikTok.
Which doesn't sound crazy, but when you're doing that for 3 to 5 hours, that's a lot, especially for some of the elderly people that were there. And then of course, the most famous, I think, incident that's been all over TikTok is the girl who squat. The way they cut the show is it looks like she's squatting for like 2 minutes and you're like, oh, you
not even,
hold
it
that?
Looks like she's squatting for like a 10 minute. Seconds. Yeah. Like she's like, oh, I can't hold it. And you're like, can't do it. What are you talking about? We like, just saw you. Yeah.
But it was for a very long time. I mean, imagine squatting for like 15 minutes. Like
especially the squat she was doing. This was like
it was low
and like her legs were like spread. And I was like, no way. Like that would have been like a minute tops.
It's like a weightlifter squats. You know what I mean? So like, Yeah, but and I guess the arena they were in was also outdoors, so it got down to like 27 degrees Fahrenheit, which is why one of the contestants got hypothermia. Yeah.
Well, no, this makes sense because I knew a little bit of this information, Jade, going into it, and there's so much that makes sense. Like, if you've watched this first episode or if you haven't, put all this into context because there are several things that caught my eye, Jade, in that first scene that now makes sense knowing how long they were out there and how fucking cold it was. So one is when you see these guys getting to the finish line, do you notice how everyone was just like rubbing their hands and like their bodies, like they had just been like on a track meet or something. Yeah.
They're like moving and trying moving to, it's basically like blowing. The way you try to get heat to your body.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, so it must be a little bit cold, but 27 fucking dude, like that's fucking cold. Like, that's fucking cold.
I thought it was probably chilly and
like 40s, to be honest, like,
I thought they were in an indoor arena, but I was like, oh, it's probably super cold because it's really big and it's, you know, concrete or whatever the thing, you know what I mean? I'm like, it's probably just cold. Like that's how a lot of these sound stages and stuff are, but no, it's outside. 27 degrees is fucking nuts with like no gloves, no like hats or anything. They're just in those track suits. And then, yeah, like that, the standing, but it's interesting to me though, because I do kind of feel like, which these people absolutely do not deserve hypothermia or nerve damage or any sort of injury at all from a fucking reality show. Let's just get that clear. But I almost also am kind of like, I mean, this is the show. Like in Squid Game, Red Light, Green Light. You know what I mean? But like in Red Light, Green Light, it was like they killed half of the people immediately in that game. And that's what happened on the show, on the Squid Game, the challenge is I think it was extended for so long because they intentionally wanted to get rid of half the cast during this game, cut it down to like 200 people. They started with like 460. And I think the only way to do that was to extend the game, these crazy lengths, and push people to basically stop, you know what I mean? Which is like kind of sad, but also I'm like,
It makes me think too, like think about even if you weren't in a weird squat, even if you were just standing still, like if you twitch, move, sneeze, anything in 20 minutes, you're out. Like you're out. Yes. That's it.
It's like you have to hold. So if you're in a weird pose, like if let's say you're like moving your arms while walking and then you freeze, like your arms now have to stay in that position the whole time. So I would walk like a fucking like zombie. Like my arms would be just down to my side, dead. You know what I mean? And I would be like shuffling along. Like,
well, did you notice, Jade, that after the third cutaway or something, the third red light pause,
people were laying
on the ground. And I was like, why are people diving on the ground? Like, you know, and I'm going, oh, yeah, it's because they were there for 10, 15, 20 minutes waiting for that next green light. So instead of risking being in a weird pose, like a squat or like you said, like with your arm sticking out, you were just laying face down, arms at your side.
Is I don't know how the first guy got, like he was far along. Like he crossed the finish line way ahead of everyone, 107.
Yes.
And that was nuts to me because I was like, how did that motherfucker, like he did it somehow. Also, again, I feel like they keep giving us heroes and they keep taking them away. Which, by the way, I will bring up as well because they get you so hard in the first episode because they show you the story of this one woman.
The parole officer.
That you connect with so much. Like it's, you know, she just basically talks about how hard she's had it in life and how life changing this money would be.
She could pay off her house. I think she had like one or two kids, like something like that.
She makes a statement where she's like, I don't want anything crazy. What I want is simples. I just want to have a decent life. You know what I mean?
And you're like, oh my God.
She's like, I'm not here for like riches and fame and stuff. She's like, I just want to be comfortable in my life. And I just kind of need a break. And she's like, and this is my break.
Cause she was talking about like $30,000. Like think about it. I could buy a car. I could pay off my mortgage. I could like, you know, send my kids to school.
Normal shit.
And I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like,
so you like connect with her so much because you're like, I understand that. I feel that so deeply. And then I'm sorry, spoiler, immediately eliminated in red light, green light.
First person, Jade. The first, I clocked it.
Yes, show the first round of people like get shot.
And I didn't want to believe it, Jade. I didn't want to believe it. Like I saw it and I was like, no, that's got to be someone else. Like maybe it's just me thinking like, that's another black woman. Like maybe because I just saw that person, this is not the same person. Same person. You could see the look in her eyes. And I'm like, oh my God.
I genuinely teared up. I was so upset. I was like, how fucking dare you. Give me this woman's
story.
Though.
That set the tone for the whole, exactly, like, no one is safe.
Because
no one is safe in this.
Exactly.
In this show.
And that's exactly it. It's to showcase. It's exactly the way that the scripted television show is based off of. It's like, we're going to make you fall in love with people and then we're going to take them away from you. And I was like, oh, this shit is real. It's real. Anyways, Squid Game, the challenge.
What was your favorite game, Jade? What was your favorite game that they did? I mean, a lot of them were from the actual show, but what one was like, that was it?
I would say, so as far as like to watch, probably would be The Bridge. That shit was fucking intense. Dude. Intense on another level.
So Jade, I'm not convinced if that's either really creative editing or if those people fell like 5 feet, because like
I think it's creative editing.
That fall,
I think they fell like immediately below.
That fall looked intense, like, because they were like, yeah, you could see them, the fear in their eye. They would have to like prepare for it. And it was like, poof. And I was like,
oh yeah, no one wants to fall, even if it's dropping a short distance.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, I don't think they're falling as far as we like to think they are.
I'm shocked.
But
I'm shocked that the lawsuits aren't coming from that game. Because to me, if anyone was injured, it would have been during that. Okay, I don't care if you're falling 3 feet or 5 feet.
You want to talk about a game that people got fucking really injured during is Physical 100. That shit was insane. You should watch that, by the way, Josh. I can't believe you still haven't watched that. I was obsessed with that, and I can't wait for season two. But I would say, though, my favorite game that I would probably want to play is The Real Life Battleships.
That game was so sick.
That was so much, dude. I would have had so much fun. I don't even care at that point. I'd be like, whatever, dude. Like, we're playing real life battleships. I'm like so excited.
I would have had to be the commander. The high risk of being the commander and the fucking lieutenant. Like, I was like, this is the best.
I was watching it the whole time, and that's all I could think about is I was like, if Josh and I were in this game,
oh, Jade,
commander, lieutenant, I would be so intense.
To me, there's only two strategies in that game, in this game, and I think that everyone positioned their battleships
the boat's
poorly.
Wrong.
Poorly, because
this is how you know. Like, what no is your method? Really,
to me, there's two methods. Two of methods, and then you can improvise. Like, once you play someone a couple times, you've got to improvise. But like, there's the cluster method where you just cluster everything in one corner and just go,
because people don't think that you're that stupid to put all your boats together.
Or to me, I'm an edges person. I just everything edge. You can keep going down two, three, four. Like, yeah. And I can't believe I can't believe no one did that.
I do an in-between. I do like three boats like on the edge. And then I do two kind of somewhere in like the center and middle. Because then it's like, it's so spread out, but also like not in a way that you would think that that's like the area. I don't know. And I also try to strategize about which number boat goes on like which section. Which is one of the hardest things, because it's like when you hit one, now you're like, okay, I either have to go like up one, down one, like over one or whatever, just get to the next one. Which, by the way, when they played with my favorite villain and they kept fucking missing, that was sick.
That was intense. The one that came down to the last fucking hit. You can't tell me some of that shit's not scripted. Like, there's someone whispering off screen, like B3.
No, it's not. It's 100% not. It's just a probability that like one game is going to be incredible. You know what I mean? Like, it's a chance.
It was insane. Like, I couldn't believe they missed that many times. I couldn't believe they missed that many fucking
amazing
times.
Yeah. But, and I love that they included that, because obviously in the original Squid Game, it was a lot of games that were just commonly played in Korea, which makes sense. Obviously, it's a Korean television show, but they included in this, you know, version, these very common American games. So we had like Battleship, the Duck Duck Goose. There was another one too. Right?
Oh yeah. I feel like they just needed new games to get people out though, because I mean, I don't think because in Squid Game, there's only what, like seven games, something like that.
Yeah. And I thought the same thing too. I think they probably had backups. So they probably had contingency plans based on how many people were left. So I think they were probably like, okay, here's this game where we have this many people left and this game with this many people left. Do you think there'll be a season two?
Oh, absolutely. There will absolutely be a season two, especially because there's going to be a Squid Game too. So that will it will either be based on the new Squid Game series, or that's it will just be a continuation of, or a combination of two. I have a couple of questions though. So, thinking about this, one, also I need to bring this up really quick before we move on. I loved the, what is it? The cookie game. I call it the cookie game, but it's not, that's not the name of it. It's the one where they have to cut out the shapes.
Is it called Dalgona? I know it's a coffee. Yeah,
something like that.
But that one was.
Because insane. I was so unsure how they were going to select who got what shapes. And I thought it was going to be.
It is Dalgona. I was
See, you know things. Yeah, I thought it was going to be so randomized. I thought it was going to be based on the line that you lined up. Because everyone had to choose a line, not knowing what was what. So I was just like, oh, they're going to reveal the shapes after everyone lines up. And it's going to be the shape. But instead, they had four people from each team go in and compromise as to which shape each line would have, which just sent everyone into this catastrophic tizzy. And what was it? Three, four rounds of people. So what would happen is
that was insane.
They all had to agree to take one shape, and it didn't matter how they agreed to it, but they had to each agree to a shape within a
before the timer ended. Yeah,
they had 2 minutes to figure it out. They had three or four rounds of people go in. And if they didn't choose by the end of the 2 minutes, everyone in the room eliminated. And I was like, after the first one, I was like, oh, the second people are going to come up with a compromise. Third people get in there. And was it the third or fourth? I couldn't remember. I thought it was like the third or fourth person was the one that was finally like, okay, we got to get this shit.
No. It was like the third, because that was the one guy who like everyone kept calling like a bitch and a pussy.
Oh, he was
fucked up because he like cried and he was upset that he was getting the umbrella because he was
annoying. He was annoying though. He started throwing up everything. He threw up over everything. He was like,
he was, but I felt bad because that's a stress response. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like, clearly he's very stressed and overwhelmed. And then people are seeing him as like weak for being like dramatic or whatever, which I felt really terrible for. I think that's why he got so defensive, is because he's like, I'm not weak and I don't appreciate the way people are talking about me, which I don't think was appropriate way that people were talking about him. But
I agree.
Villain in his group. And then it was so fucked up because at that moment he was like, okay, fine. He's like, if I take umbrella, then you have to agree to help me. You have to help me with mine. And they were like, and the guy was like, yeah, I'll do it. So he takes an umbrella right before the timer ends. And then they announce, they're like, you cannot help anyone in this game.
Well, because they separate them. They don't let them all in the room anyways, at the same time. Yeah they separate them.
It's not
them.
Like the show. Because in the show, they put them all together and everyone opens their tent. And that's when they find out what shape they get. But in this, they separate them by the shape. So it's like all umbrellas are together. All stars are together. So
there's no way to help.
Yeah. And then the moment that his cookie broke. Dude, peak television though.
Yeah.
It was so good. The drama.
I don't think they're going to do it, but like I thought before this finale was announced, I thought that they might go back and bring back some players that were dead and try to bring them back into the game. Because you know how there was like the whole thing in Squid Game where everyone left and they broke out, and then, you know, like everyone broke out and then they got an invitation to come back. I thought they were going to invite back like five or six players. And then when I saw that didn't happen, I was like, oh, like that would have been kind of a fun, like little element, but no. I don't think it's going to happen now.
No. The game would go on too long.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, like, not like 10 people, but like, you know, you bring back for one game, you bring back like five or six people, you know, something like that.
No, because then you still would have had, it would have been too much.
Yeah.
Like even the Duck Duck Goose game to me felt like it was too long. Like I was already over it.
It did feel long. It did. Yeah.
But like the third person, I was like, okay.
Why does everyone have to go? Like, can't we just find a quicker more efficient way?
Well, because it's like, I don't know. It should have been, I don't know. There should have been a faster way to get rid of people.
The long haired, what I call him Jesus, but the long haired Jesus dude, when he was just picking out people left and right.
Philip.
Oh, obsessed my God.
Obsessed with him. Okay. God. His speeches were everything, because he was like portraying like it was like a murder mystery. It was like, it was you who did it. And he actually like laughed at a couple points because of how silly he was being. But
and
I was like,
right. He fucking
got it right every time. Like on the money. And he wasn't even like hemming or hawing. He was like, I know exactly the
fuck. I love how he did the third one. And he genuinely, it looked like in his eyes, did not believe that he picked the right person. And then he was like, the fuck? Like, he was like, the fuck? Like, yeah. Like, he did it.
It wasn't
like,
the third. He only did it two times, but.
The second time then. It was the second time he did it, where he was just like, what?
He was like, oh, shit. I actually got it right? Like, damn. Well, actually, I don't even know if that was, like, him being shocked they got it right. I think it was just it settling in that, like, that person has to go now.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think he was like having fun playing the game, but then as soon as like he was right and they had to go with you, he's like, oh, fuck, that's right. They have to like die.
Movie review. First look. I think it's time to take a first look at our movie this week, which, speaking of shocking, is Violent Nights, which is streaming now on Netflix. Jade, this movie, I feel like I can anticipate a lot of movies that are similar to this. When I tell you that nothing in this movie was what I anticipated, that is the understatement of the year. Literally, Jade, this was a movie where, you know, my wife, you know, your friend Danielle was like, I'm not going to watch this because it looks dumb. And I was like, you're probably right. Danny. I was like, you're probably right. I was like, I watched 5 minutes of this movie. I restarted it. And I was like, Danielle, you need to come in here. This movie is something different. You don't even know. Like, it's crazy. But Jade, first thoughts on this film.
I mean, this movie is exactly what I wanted it to be. It is the perfect cross between like action and camp. Like, this is the perfect marriage, I think, of those two things. And I think there's a lot of films that try to be this, especially in this exact genre, which is like horror, thriller, Christmas, but they don't get it right. Violent Night gets it right. And David Harbour, beautiful. Great performance. I'll amazing. Talk more about this. I mean, yeah. Obsessed.
Jay, this is this is the perfect Christmas Baby movie of, if you took like Tim Allen's Santa Claus and mixed it with John Wick and maybe sprinkled in some Miracle on 34th Street.
No, like Home Alone.
Home Alone, 100%. I totally forgot about that part. Yeah,
Home Alone. It's like Home Alone, the Santa Claus, and what was the other one you said?
John Wick.
Or yeah.
All in
or
one.
Even Die Hard, because it's Christmas.
100%. Die Hard. All that's in it. One. Like, that is what this movie is. And it's, I don't know what else to say. Like, this movie surprised me in a great way. And it's something I might even, Jade, be so bold as to say right now, might add this to my Christmas movie watch list.
I'm gonna be as bold with you, and I'm gonna say the same exact thing. I feel like this is now part of my Christmas movie catalog that I will probably watch every year.
Yeah, and I can't believe I didn't watch it last year when it came out. So that's on us. That's on me. That's our fault. Well, we're going to take a quick break, come back, and review our movie this week, which is Violent Night. It's streaming now on Netflix.
And now, our feature presentation.
You ain't driving, are you?
I steer a little, but the reindeer do most of the work.
This is my fourth year as a Santa. How about you?
I started the whole damn thing.
Ho, ho, ho!
It's Christmas!
We decided that you could have one gift.
Early.
What is it?
That is a direct hotline to Santa Claus himself.
I can talk to Santa.
All right, revelers. Welcome to your worst Christmas ever.
Let's go!
You have $300 million in your personal vault. That's what I want for Christmas.
Our movie this week is Violent Night. It's streaming now on Netflix. This is an interesting choice, Jade, I thought, for director and writers for this. So, the director for this movie, Violent Night, is Tommy Ricola, I believe is how you say his name. Mm-hmm. He's best known for Dead Snow and Dead Snow 2, which I believe...
So this is his genre.
Yeah, his genre, it's which is another violent winter movie, I think happened around Christmas time, but with Nazis. And then he also did, Jade, Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters. Do you remember this movie from like 10 years ago?
Yes. Yeah. I actually low-key kind of enjoyed it. Is it Jeremy Renner?
Jeremy Renner, yeah. Exactly. That's why I saw his face and I was like, I remember this movie from like years ago. But also, he's teamed up with the writers, Pat Casey and Josh Miller, who are probably most well-known for writing Sonic and Sonic 2. So I think we know where all the humor comes from in this movie based on what I saw in Sonic 1. And Jade, I know you're a fan of both those movies.
Yeah, love Sonic, love James Marsden. You know, as we all know, he was in Sonic.
He was in Sonic.
Jury duty.
Dude, I just watched that last night. That movie was fucking hilarious. You were in Sonic? I didn't even know
that movie kind of wasn't good.
Jade, why do I feel like that if Danielle had been in Jury Duty, that would have been her. He would have been there and she would have been like, I don't really recognize
it. It 100% would have, because yeah, she would have zero awareness and just been like, oh, Sonic? Yeah, I heard it wasn't good. And then James Marsden had to go home and cry.
Yeah, because she would have watched it and been like, it's not. Because she would have been like, hey.
She would have watched it and then come back and have been like,
I would have made her watch it, because she would have come back for that day and been like, hey, so I met this guy. I think he's in like a couple of movies and he's in The Jury. And he was in Sonic. I was like, oh, let's watch it. And I'm like, wow, that was so good. And she'd be like, I just didn't like it.
I still didn't like it. And then she would go back and tell him to his face.
She's like, it just wasn't for me. It wasn't for me.
Yeah. Crushed his spirit.
They would have to cancel the rest of the show.
Yeah. He'd be like, I can't do this. I'm being roasted.
But this movie also stars David Harbour, who we all know from Stranger Things, and longtime fans know him from things like Hellboy back in the day.
Yeah.
John Leguizamo.
Back in the day. He did Hellboy after Stranger Things.
Did he?
1,000%.
Wait.
Because he got in shape for Hellboy, and then in shape to do the fourth season, and then he was also doing the Black Widow movie where he was also in shape. So,
Also, he was great in Black Widow. I think his performance is underappreciated in that movie.
Yeah. Well, now he's gonna be part of that villain league group.
Oh, that'd be awesome. I don't know.
Thunder.
Get your act together, Bolts? DC. Or Marvel or whatever. Who cares anymore? Fucking get your act together. Yeah, one of you. We also have John Leguizamo, who is it? Literally everything. And Beverly D'Angelo from, of course, all of the Christmas Vacation. She's no stranger to Christmas movies with Christmas Vacation. Also the original.
What you have to know is that had to be intentional.
Oh, 1,000% it was. But yeah. Jade, for those who don't know, what the fuck is this movie about? Because for those who probably haven't watched it yet, they probably has gone under the radar.
Yeah. So it's when a group of mercenaries attack the estate of a wealthy family, Santa Claus must step in to save the day and Christmas.
Classic. So, Jane, let's just start right in here. Let's start with the trash. What was trash for you in this film?
I didn't have a ton of really big trashes, but I think there was just small things that overall, I could probably forgive just because of how much I like this movie. But one of the things was they gave the little girl Trudy a walkie-talkie, right? So she could talk to Santa, quote unquote. And then she ends up actually talking to Santa because he gets a hold of a walkie-talkie from one of the mercenaries. But then I'm like, but then that means she would have to be on the same channel as the mercenaries. And then they would all overhear their conversation. So
I didn't understand that either. I was like, how are they not tuning in? And also, didn't she have the initial conversation within 5 feet of one of the kidnappers? And I was like, how is he not hearing what's happening?
Because she had a walkie-talkie the entire time. Yeah. And I was like, if I was a kid, I'd be like, why the fuck? What is that? You're not taking, that's communication. And you could probably overhear everything we're talking about. So I don't know why it wasn't taken away immediately. Because the one guy's literally behind the couch as she's talking into this thing. And I'm like, is no one questioning she's talking to on this walkie-talkie? So that was a bit of a moment that took me out of it, because I was like, look, I know we're not going for realism here. But this is just a small trip up that I was like, that was a little bit trash.
To me, I think the only trash that I really had was there were just small moments that I didn't care about. There was a lot of moments where I felt like they felt – and mainly it was on the kidnapping side or on the hostage situation side, where they're like, oh, we need to bring in this group of people, or, oh, we need to show this one scene to show how they took out the guards. And I'm like,
honestly,
for the type of movie it was, I don't give a fuck. There was a lot of times, and I feel like this really wasn't his fault, but John Leguizamo's character, I felt like was used as a narrator tool sometimes to get us from one area to another or to explain a scene away. And I was like, I don't need this. You can just cut this out, because this is a campy fucking movie. I'm not going to be scouring it for fucking plot holes. I understand the premise. Yeah. You have Santa Claus, you have a group of bad guys, and you have family we're trying to save. Done. That's all I need to know. Just chaos ensue. Agreed. Just let chaos go. Like after the first 10 minutes, I don't need, there were a couple of filler scenes where I was like, I don't need you to explain all of this to me. I don't care. Like, I don't care about any of this.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that as well. There was some, I think it was just a little bit too much exposition of like, here's the story, here's the plot. And it's kind of like, this is, we know exactly what this is. It's silly. We don't need anything more.
As soon as we just found out depth. As soon as we found out Santa was real, nothing else mattered. Nothing else mattered.
Exactly.
At that point. I was like, Santa's real. Exactly. I know what's going to happen. This is going to be chaos. Let's fucking.
He has magic.
Yeah.
And my favorite part too is like when they explain the way his magic works, typically when you introduce anything that's like sci-fi or magic or magical realism, you kind of have to set rules, right? You're like, well, why does this work the way that it works? Or like, what is the boundary? How far can I go? And I love the whole time Santa's like, I don't even know how it works.
I don't even know.
It's the magic of Christmas. Like he's like, whatever. And I was like, that's all I need.
That's my favorite part. Cause he's just like,
that's all I needed. Santa,
how do you feel about the, I don't even, and you can kind of see it. Cause there are times he's trying to use it and he's like, why isn't this fucking working?
It works
every time. It doesn't fucking work. And then all of a sudden it works. And he's like, oh, there we go. Like, yeah.
He's like, well, okay. Yeah. No, but out. I love it. Cause I was like, yeah, you're right. I appreciate that. I was like, they were like, actually, we don't have an explanation for it. So we're just literally going to tell you that, like, we don't know how it works. And you're just
going to have to fucking deal with it. Yeah.
And you just accept it. And I was like, brilliant. I will accept it. But yeah, I didn't have, there wasn't like a ton of trash. I mean, obviously with a campy movie like this, like, I think there's always going to be a little bit of plot holes or a little bit of things that don't quite make sense, but I'm willing to forgive it.
Because of the type of movie it is. But, you know, Jade, I'm also a little mad. Maybe this is not trash, but I'm just a little upset. Hmm. There needed to be more reindeer, and I wanted more reindeer in this movie.
I wanted more reindeer sass.
Yes.
I definitely wanted to see a reindeer kill someone, like, you know what I mean? Like either kicking them in the head or like stabbing them with their antlers or something. Yeah, dude, I seriously though, or like eating them. Like I wanted to see some fucking reindeers eat some people.
Cause we didn't get Rudolph in the beginning. I thought we were going to get like a revenge of the Rudolph, like him coming back and like saving the day, flies in and fucking just like spear someone to death. Like that's just like hit some of his antlers, missed opportunity. Maybe they just didn't have the CGI budget. Maybe that was it. Maybe they're just like, we don't have the budget for that.
Honestly, that's probably it. Well,
Violent Night 2.
Yeah. Because I think the reindeer are real when they're on the ground, obviously flying at that CGI. Mm. So probably to get the reindeer to do those actions, it would have to be CGI. So yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, Jade, let's roll right into it. What was treasure for you in this film?
Oh my God, but it wasn't. So first off, right off the bat, is the way they use the happy-go-lucky Christmas music to underscore these very violent scenes, I thought was so brilliant because, you know, you associate these songs with like merriment and cheer and it's Christmas and we're happy and they're talking about all these good things in the lyrics, and yet here's Santa Claus just fucking tearing through people with like a hammer and an ice skate, and it's violent and gory, and it's like oh Christmas time, and like, you know, there's like blood gushing out,
strangling people with garland. Like that was my favorite. I was like, that thing would snap, but still it's hilarious. Tinsel, the tinsel, just
so good. Yeah, it would snap immediately, but yeah, I was like, you know, I'm here for it and I'm obsessed. Like the choice to do that added, and then on top of that, like whenever there wasn't music, it was that really campy, like Hallmark style, like sound effects. It was really like, do, 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 do. Like, you know what I mean? Like it was so cheesy and so, it was those silly things that you see in like happy go lucky Christmas movies, but they were using it in times of like when bad things are happening, like when the criminals are trying to get to the little girl in the attic, and like they're literally using like the campy sound effects from like Home Alone, where it's like, this is silly, this is fun, yet they're like being fucking impaled by nails.
Well, I can't. It's just so,
good.
It's so fucking good. Like, I was just continuously shocked by this movie because this is how you write a script, Jade, like for a campy, funny movie like this. We talk about follow through jokes a lot. We talk about reinforcing points. Like you can be ironically funny. And this is one of the ways to do it. One of them is just like John Leguizamo's character continuously using threats, but Christmas themed threats every time.
They're like
time.
Christmas puns,
you know, to the point, and yeah. he does it so it nauseam, and it just becomes hilarious because you know yes. to expect it, and other characters start calling him out. They're like,
"Yeah,
dude, why are you? What the fuck is it with the Christmas shit?" And he's like, "What? What? It's Christmas time." And you're like,
"Yeah,
the fuck?
Like, yeah, like everyone has like these Christmas nicknames, and they're all like, why do we have to use these stupid fucking nicknames?" And he's like, "Cause it's Christmas. It's like, Christmas. What are you talking about? Like, stop fucking questioning me." So good. Well, like, and I just love these choices of like. They didn't steer away from the violence, which I mean, that's the whole point of the fucking movie. But like one of my absolute favorite moments in the movie is when the little girl Trudy. So they already set it up at the beginning when she's like in the car and she's like, I watched Home Alone last night for the first time. And then that comes back in later. So she's like in the attic hiding and she sets up these booby traps and there's like two of the mercenaries, you know, are trying to get at her. And they're like, oh my God, these are stupid fucking booby traps. Like we can see them from a mile away, but then they're actually really clever and very violent. So like this guy, she like cut off part of one of the rungs, the ladder, but like you don't notice it. And then there's like a nail sticking out of the other one. So he's like, oh, I'm not going to step on the nail. Obviously I see it. But then you realize as he's going up the ladder, his foot goes through the broken board and his fucking chin goes straight to the nail. It's disgusting. But like, it's so good because it's like, it makes you think about Home Alone and the fact that like Marv and Harry would have died 100%. Would have fucking died. They would have
been bodies within 2 seconds. Been
violent and disgusting. And I love that they're like, yeah, she's actually going to do the exact same thing, but it's just like, this is reality. And like, this is how people fucking die. And this, oh my God, the traps were so fucking funny. And then the fact that like, they're both being beat the shit out of. They both die.
Dude, the glue one guy, got me. The glue one got me.
That was where disgusting. She
rips her scalp off.
But then, but the best part is like right at the right when they both die, she's like laughing with Santa and she was like, I made booby traps like in the movie. This, she's like, it was so funny. And I'm like,
Santa looked concerned. Like he was like, okay.
I was like, this is sick. This girl's sick.
Also, how is she still on the nice list after doing that? Like, I know they Thank were bad you. Guys, but like, no. you just literally tortured two people to death.
I literally you tortured two thing. People to death. I was like, there's no way she could be on the nice list now. She just fucking killed. Well, technically, the Santa killed the woman, but she yep. killed that guy.
She killed that guy. And, I was and like, not like, Guantanamo Bay style. Like, not like, oh, I killed someone like, in self-defense. Like,
fucked you up because guys
might as well have waterboarded him to death. Like
literally did his face go through that fucking nail, but he pulls it out and then like he falls like backwards. When he pulls it out, he falls backwards on the mat filled with nails. It goes through his fucking ass. And it was guys, these are like long ass roofing nails. They're huge. Yeah. So he falls back on that, which I was like, so he like pulls himself off and then he's like, and then he looks at like one of the nails or whatever. And of course, right at that moment, like the bowling ball. Oh, no. Yeah. The bowling ball falls down, smacks his hand. The nail goes through his forehead and then he falls back again on the bed of nails.
Oh, he was already dead though at that point. He was already dead.
I know, but I was like, this is
traumatizing.
This is like fucked up. Yeah. Like if I would, and then not only that, mind you, this little girl is acting like this is the best day ever. And she's like unfazed because in the end, when they are all outside and after Santa brings John Leguizamo's character Scrooge up the chimney, his body is
it cuts up his fucking head
fucked
off.
Up.
Yeah.
Fucked up, dude. He comes out and like, this is a dismembered body on the ground. And she runs over.
She's going like, to need therapy Santa! In like 10 years. She's going to need therapy. She's going to have like traumatic.
It's going to hit her later.
It's going to hit her later.
But I was like, I would have been like, oh my God, is that like a, is that, what's that, that human man's body? Body?
Yeah, is that a human body?
Like, is it a torso? Like, what the fuck is this?
At least we know the family's rich and can afford years of therapy for everyone.
Years of therapy.
Yeah, years and years.
Which, oh my God. And that's the other thing too. I love these like little small moments of the family dynamic. Like the fact that like the sister, was there like Ava or something or,
you oh, yeah.
know, I don't know. Yeah, Alva. Money,
just a terrible.
Yeah, she's just, terrible person, money hungry, like doesn't give a fuck about like literally anyone. She keeps trying to throw everyone else under the bus. I thought that was such a funny choice. And then in the end, when like the one brother Jason's like, oh, we have to burn Okay, we have to make a fire. Do we have to keep Santa's body warm after Santa's like basically dead?
Which made no sense. What? How was that your first reaction when you see someone that's bleeding out? You're like, I need to start a fire.
Keep them warm.
What?
They need blood in their bodies.
Yes, so the blood. Starts, like, the blood's on the ground needs to be in their bodies.
Yeah. Like, so he starts like burning the money, and I'm sorry, but I had the exact same reaction as Alva when she's like, "What? She's like, he's basically dead. Why do we need to burn the money?" And I was like, "Yeah, 100%." What are you talking about? And then also the fact that she literally kept track of how much money was burnt, because in the end she was like, well, at least it was only $500,000. And yeah, I was like,
only half a million.
Or half a million.
Like, yeah. I was like, yeah.
I was like, same. Fuck yeah. Oh my God. Also, the character of Morgan Steele, I think one of my favorite moments was like, because the whole time he was being like, he said all this like dumb shit where he's like, if I was on the plane in 9/11, I would have taken out all those hijackers.
I wrote them. And no, he's like, yeah. I have this quote because it wouldn't have to jump ahead. But yes. He's like, but he goes, if I was on that plane on 9/11, bunch of terrorists would have been skydiving without a parachute over Connecticut. And I was like,
which, by the way, is a reference to Mark Wahlberg. Do you remember Mark Wahlberg said that?
No.
That was... Yes, that's a reference to Mark Wahlberg.
How does Mark Wahlberg continue to get work? He is just a terrible human being.
Because he said that obviously around like 2001 or something, 2002, and it resurfaced again in like 2012, and he had to release like a formal apology to the public.
As he should.
Basically. But yeah, so I thought that was so fucking funny. But then like when they're all giving the Christmas presents to the mom, and he's like, this is a pitch deck. He's trying to picture a fucking movie. And he's like, I'm big in Asia. Well, parts of Asia. And the way he fucking dips out by like jumping out of a window. And then like Alva's like, oh, he's going to save us. He's going to help us. And then what did he the mom killed immediately. Say? He was like, she's like, Jean-Claude Van Dipshit just left us, sweetie. So fucking good. So good.
Oh, God. I think I know, and we might be in agreement here. Who do you have the best performance in this film?
Oh, I mean, David Harbour as Santa. Yes.
Jade.
He's this Norse Viking fucking warrior who somehow became Santa Claus and is so like begrudged because of the materialism of like the new generation. Because
he's been Santa for what, like over 1,000 years? He's been Santa Claus.
Yes. Yeah. So he's just like, you know, all kids want these days is video games and money. And like, he's so, you know, like disheartened, and to the point where it's like, he's literally just drunk and fucked up when he gets to this house. He basically passed out in the massage chair, and that's how he got stuck there, which is so fucking funny. But I love that, like, in the end, he goes like full Viking warrior with like the sledgehammer. He's got his like hair up and like a little like man bun. And I was like, this is
everything. And he's also tatted as fuck. Like, I'm like, is that part of his Nordic like, thing? Or is that Santa Claus thing? Or is it both?
No, it's a Nordic thing. So it was interesting because before they show us the shot of him as a Viking, when I see his tattoos, I immediately wrote in my notes too. I said, Norse tats. And then it was literally like, they showed him as a Viking. And I was like, oh, okay. Which I think is actually, I think St. Nicholas or something. I don't know if he was a Viking, but I think he was like a warrior or something. Real life St. Nicholas.
I thought it was like somewhere in the north. I thought it was like,
they are Nordic. That's where it originated. Yeah. Most of what has been taken for Christmas stuff and the story of Santa Claus is like Norse and like Germanic, like that whole region is like what we stole.
No, what David Arbor made me want out of his performance is a Violent Night origin story. Like, that's what I want. I want a second movie that's all based on his origin.
Yes, I 100%. I want a prequel movie of how he became Santa Claus, who he was before he was Santa Claus. I want to see Mrs. Claus. I want her to be a hot, ripped Viking woman.
The fact that they didn't show her just opens them up to anyone who could be Mrs. Claus.
In the end, like, the reindeer come back and like he has his war hammer or whatever. And literally it has a note from Mrs. Claus that was like, thought you could use this, which by the way means that Mrs. Claus knew what was up and she's still gonna fucking come help him.
And did you not think there was like a line in this movie where I thought Mrs. Claus was dead? Cause he like says he misses Mrs. Claus. Like he says that to the child at one point. And I'm like, oh, is she dead? Oh.
I didn't think she was dead. I thought it was maybe of like they're currently separated because they've been together for 1,100 years. Is what he says.
Could you imagine? No, that's too.
There's
long.
No way.
There's no way. I'm sorry.
I would have murdered him. I'm sorry. Yeah,
well, just been like, hey, maybe we need to take a few hundred year break and then we'll see how it goes.
Well, what I'm saying is like, yeah, that's what kind of what I thought in my head was like. I'm sure they probably take breaks every so often, you know. Just
and to also, how did she become mortal? Did was it by proxy? Did he choose her? Was she there first?
It's very interesting because this is why we said it's like. It's almost like the Santa Claus, the one with Tim Allen, because in that movie, he becomes Santa by accidentally killing Santa. And he has to, like, you know what I mean? So he's like learning everything. So part of me feels like I was like, is this kind of the same thing? Or is this like the legend of Saint Nicholas? How like maybe when he becomes sainted, like that's how he gains immortality. And then I don't know, it became this like commercialized version of himself. I don't know. There's so much I want to know, you know, like what. Yeah. Also, I could even do a sequel instead of a prequel. Like I could even see him being like, okay, well now my fucking hammer and every fucking Christmas, not only am I going to deliver presents, but I'm going to go kill deliver some fucking justice. Bad guys. Yeah. Delivering presents and justice. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. Done. I'm down for this. Actually, I did read in the trivia that there were talks of making this a sequel. So
they should. Yeah. This is the type of movie that you could make 17 of them and I'd watch them all.
I'd watch them.
I watch
this
all
is like
them.
Fast and Furious level to me. Oh. You know, I'll just keep going. Keep watching it.
Forever.
It's fine.
Just keep making them. Jade, a couple of quotes, best quotes before we give our rating. I had one that was literally right off the top that just made me, this is what brought me into the movie. Like this is what made me think this is going to be a great fucking movie because this is not a throwaway line. This is hilarious. And it makes me laugh just reading it now. And it's right at the beginning where we get introduced to Santa Claus and he's at a bar and he's getting fucking hammered. And the bartender is like kind of concerned about him and is like, hey, you're not driving, are you? And he just goes, I steer a little bit, but the reindeer mowed most of the driving. And they all like, oh, and I was like, that's fucking hilarious.
Dude, so good. Yeah, that's why he's getting like, he's like fucking shotgunning beers on the sled. It was hilarious. I do love, this is like right when we meet the family and they're all making fun of the fact that Alva named her son Bertrude.
Oh, God.
And because she didn't have a daughter to name Gertrude. So she goes, we all can't be lucky enough to have a daughter. And then her son is like, Mom, I can hear you.
The son was pretty hilarious. Like,
his character was pretty fucking funny.
Just a very short one. Just because it was such a throwaway line, but it made me laugh because it was just so campy. And it's John Leguizamo's character where they're just doing the takeover of the house. And he's like, kills one of the guards. And he's like, bah humbug, motherfucker.
Like, so good. That's a one-liner that's like perfect.
Yeah.
I do love, this is a small one too, when like Gertrude, basically like Bert is like being a little shit. And then Gertrude's, oh yeah, he goes, God, Grandma, your Wi-Fi sucks dick. And then like Gertrude turns to Alvin and she goes, when he was small, I begged you to beat him. Jesus fucking Christ.
I think just because of the reaction from David Arbor in this scene, but it's with Santa Claus and this is after the family like gathers around him and says they believe and they bring him back to life essentially. And the dad is going, Santa, I don't know how we will ever repay you. And he goes, well, you brought me back from the dead. So I think we can call it even. And I was like,
yeah, accurate. Okay. Accurate. I love this one is like John Leguizamo's character is like trying to get into the safe, but they have all this like high tech shit around. And he's like, I remember when you used to drill a hole and blow shit up. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting old, but it was more romantic. Which I'm like, it's such a me thing to say.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, yeah, that would have been me.
So everything's 100%. Computers now. Just boring. It's boring.
Yeah. And then do you have any more?
That's all about all I had.
Oh, I have quite a few. So I love this one is like, so basically Santa, this is a runner, like has been bitching the whole time about kids only getting like fucking video games. And do you remember how like when the guys are fighting him and he keeps pulling, he's trying to find something in the bag to help him, but it's just literally fucking video game after video game. And so he goes, no one asked for a bat or sword or Molotov cocktails. And then literally right after that, when he's getting attacked, he pulls on, he goes, Die Hard on Blu-ray. Fuck. This is so accurate. Oh my God.
Amazing.
And then this is when one of the henchmen is, so they're, this is, they have Jason and they had already crushed his finger in one of the nutcrackers. So then like John Leguizamo pulls out the giant nutcracker and he's like, we're going to put your ball on the nutcracker. And then the female henchman is like, she's like, I'm not touching his balls. And he was like, you scooped out someone's brains. She goes, if you want me to scoop his brains out, I'll scoop his brains out, but I'm not touching his balls. Like, I love that that's where she draws the line. Like, it's just his balls. Oh my God. And then this is also like a small moment, but when Morgan does jump out the window, he just yells, parkour! Which is also a me thing to do. I would 100% do that. And then this is right after Santa picks up the sledgehammer in the shed and like he's like ready to fucking rumble and there's like 20 guys in the shed with him. He's like, Santa's gonna eat through these guys like a plate full of cookies. Which golden fucking line. Golden line. God. And then I think I have like, oh yeah, this is towards the end too, when basically the last three people remaining in the hostage room, which is Alva, her son Bert, and then the wife, and they all start beating the shit out of that like one henchman. And then the end, she's like, it's nice to do something as a family for once. Have they fucking just killed a man together?
It's so nice.
Something as family for once.
Oh my God.
So fucking good. But yeah, I mean, this is like, this is exactly what I wanted. This movie.
It exceeded my expectations for sure. Like, I did not know what to expect, and I did not think this is the movie I was going to get out of this type of a movie. But Jade, now comes the time. What do you rate this film?
This is a gem for me, TBH. Like, because this is exactly what I see as a gem. It's a little diamond in the rough. It's something that's different. I think this blends like action and comedy, but like also playing on this like trope of Christmas is supposed to be a happy time. Like, I don't know. This is going to be, again, we said it, I kind of think at the beginning of like probably a Christmas movie staple for me. Like, I watch Die Hard during Christmas. Like, to me, that's a Christmas movie. Yeah. Come on. So yeah, it's just, it's going to be up there as like one of my favorite Christmas movies.
Not to bring the energy down, but like, I was just thinking like Die Hard, Alan Rickman's gone, and soon Bruce Willis.
Don't tell me.
Dying,
I know.
Cause he's dying. Yeah. It's sad. It's,
I know. Cause he has Alzheimer's.
Is it Alzheimer's? Is that what it is?
Yeah. I know, and it's like Alzheimer's and dementia.
Dementia. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely dementia. Cause I remember he's just, it's sad. That's sad.
I know.
That's just hard.
That's how my great grandma went.
I totally agree though, Jade. This is a gem for me. TBD, maybe a treasure. Maybe I'll have to go back and rewatch it and like give me a couple of years and I'm going to circle back and I'll see what I said. Like, if I'm still watching it in a couple of years, I could see this being a slow burn of a movie where more people find it every year and
absolutely
discover it. And this could become maybe a little bit of a cult classic, I think.
I think this is going to be one too that it's going to get cycled through the streaming services. Yes. So like over time, people are going to just be watching it and it's just going to become one of those things you're like, oh yeah, let's just throw on Violent Night.
Cause it's, you know, the movie's way smarter than it needs to be. And that makes for such an excellent movie. Like, everyone gave, this is one of those movies where everyone could have phoned it in. It could have been just a throwaway movie where everyone collects their paycheck. And this is something that people came together and made something special.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious. And thank you guys for doing that.
And you know what? Controversial opinion. Better than Elf.
Oh, Jade, you know what? We could have a, you know what? You know, let's pause this because I want to have this discussion after the break. I need to talk about Elf. Okay. So that was a review of Violent Night. You can watch it now on Netflix.
Are you going to help us, Santa?
Yeah, Trudy.
Santa?
No, on my nice list. Santa Claus is coming to town. For some season's beatings.
Who the hell are you?
Boss, what if he really is the real?
There's no such thing as Santa.
And our movie this week was Violent Night. You can stream it now on Netflix. And if you can't find it there for whatever reason, I think you can rent it on Apple TV Plus or Amazon.
It's actually on
Prime.
Amazon Prime. It's not on Netflix.
Oh, it's not on Netflix. You know what? You know what confused me, Jade? I think I said this several times. You're right. I stand corrected. It is on Amazon Prime. It was on Netflix right until right before the holiday. It was like on Netflix for a short period of time. And then I think it got pulled off right before the holiday season. So I don't know if that's when the contract expired, but you were correct. So ignore everything I said.
For those listening, it is sometimes difficult now for Josh and I, because with him being in Ireland, he gets different things on his streaming platforms than we do here in the States. So now we're a little bit disconnected.
For example, today I was like, Jade, you know, you shared that you were watching The Hunger Games, and we just started watching because we were kind of bored and like feeling like the holiday season. We're like, oh, let's watch some of the Harry Potter. And Netflix here in the UK has mm-hmm. all of the Harry Potter collection on Netflix. I was like, oh, Jade, you should check out the Harry Potter collection. It's on fucking Netflix right now. And you're like, oh, cool.
No, it was Hunger Games, because I had been wanting to watch Hunger Games, rewatch it, because it's all over TikTok because of Songbirds and mm-hmm. Snakes. But there was the only place it was streaming was like Roku, I think Peacock, and like something else. But so they're all things that I didn't have. So I was like, fuck, like I want to watch it, but I want to like rent it, and I don't want to get one of these channels. And then I like literally got an ad for it yesterday when I was on Amazon, and it was like available now on Stars. And I was like, oh shit, I have my sister Stars login so that I could watch it. But you were like, it's on Netflix. I was like, what? No, it's not.
No, it is. It is here.
It is in the, over there. So
also, Jade, VPNs come in very handy for some of this stuff. Didn't say Netflix. If you're listening, I didn't say that. Don't.
Oh, that's my account. I know everyone's been watching stuff internationally. Oh, 100%. They'll be like, oh, well, it's available on Netflix Canada. So they'll just like switch their VPN, whatever.
But Jade, I want to go back to what we were talking about with Elf, because I think this is a highly controversial conversation that we're about to have about a beloved Christmas movie that is celebrating, Jade, this year, its 20th anniversary, which just makes me feel fucking old, because I feel like that movie came out like 5 years ago, like, or 6 years ago. I don't know why, but like, it makes me feel old. That movie is 20 fucking years old.
Oh God, Jesus.
Jade, I'm going to give you my opinion on this. And it's come over years of having rewatched Elf.
Mm-hmm.
I think Elf is funnier now to quote than it is to actually fucking watch. Like, honestly, I find myself getting bored watching Elf, especially as you get to the latter half of the movie. Like, I love all the stuff in the workshop. That's all hilarious. I love fucking Will Ferrell going to goddamn New York City, the narwhal, fucking him running around the coffee shop, getting into all sorts of shenanigans with Santa. Oh, that's great. Oh, that's hilarious. Him singing, doing the singing telegram. I love it. But like, when we get into the serious stuff of him saving Christmas, I'm like, wow, I'm bored. I wish we could just fast forward through 30 minutes of this movie, because I don't fucking care.
Well, yeah. Well, and that's the part of the movie that no one ever really talks about or
like
quotes, because that's the thing, is it's like that's supposed to be the heart of the film, right? Like the primary plot, but it's not the most interesting part of the movie. And the most interesting parts of the movie is when Will Ferrell does what Will Ferrell does best and is being like silly and stupid and goofy, and it's like more of like a fish out of like
he does an Anchorman where he just improvises over and over again.
It's a story of like the fish out of water, and like that's to me what I think of when I think of Elf, is it's this fish out of water story. He doesn't understand what it's like to be in the real world. He only understands what it's like to live in the North Pole. So he's just this very like, has this very like childlike sense of like wonder and approach to like the world as around him. And that to me is very interesting. But when we get to the part of like the relationship with his father and then kind of saving Christmas and bringing back Christmas spirit, I'm kind of like, that's not really what I'm here for. And everyone I know talks about that movie as if it's like the best Christmas movie of all time. And I don't get it. And it's not even like this has happened with age. Like, so what, that movie came out in 2003, so I was 12 years old. So at 12, I was like, this is funny, and I'm going to quote it at school because I'm in middle school with my friends.
I think that's it. This movie came out at the perfect time, because this was still at a time period where we as kids were quoting movies because we didn't have the streaming platforms.
We didn't have social media.
You would just quote these funny moments to your fucking friends because it was hilarious. You'd be like, oh, look, the best coffee in the world. Remember that fucking, fucking funny.
Bye, buddy.
You're not the real Santa.
Dude,
I can't quote movies like that anymore. And it's not just because I'm older, but it's because we're not having those. We have more content now. We have more platforms
10
now,
times more content.
More outlets, you know, and.
In social media, because I'm seeing things now on social media, like so much that I get so sick of it very quickly versus 100%. When
you're inundated, you're just overstimulated with it over and over again.
It's like, as soon as I watch something, now it's on my TikTok and I'm being fed the same thing over and over again for like months, to the point where I'm like, okay, I'm over it.
But then it just cuts off. Like, and like social media knows, like they know, like once it burns out, like all of a sudden one day you're just like,
you never see it again. Yeah. And I think that's like a big difference, but yeah. But Elf to me though, I was never like, I remember watching the first year. I enjoyed it.
Now, and that's then shocking to me, Jade, that you weren't even brought in the beginning. I feel like this was like
a cult for me.
Like I was brought into the cult, and then I slowly have had to separate myself over the years. So that's what.
Well, and that's what was that was always so weird to me, because I remember like the next year, everyone's talking about fucking Elf again, and I was like, yeah, it was like kind of funny, but I was like, but haven't we moved on? Like, what are we talking about here? Like, and you know what I think too? I think it was also like a rediscovery as people got older. Do you remember like Zooey Deschanel kind of became the it girl for a little while?
Yeah,
she was I'm the quirky girl. And that was like right at the beginning of the quirky hipster era. And so then I think people were like obsessing over Elf because of that as well.
I still can't get over the fact the decision to give Zooey Deschanel blonde fucking hair. I like terrible choice. I don't get that. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I don't know. I guess blonde, light, winter. I don't know. Weird.
It just, it looks weird. But I do agree, Jade. I think that Elf at this point, overrated Christmas movie. It's to me, it's a Christmas movie that's relegated to the, I turn it on because it's the holidays, but it's in the background as I'm doing other shit. Yeah. I'm not sitting down and watching it all
the
time.
You know, it's a movie that I quote all the fucking time, year round. My favorite Christmas movie of all time. How the Grinch Stole Christmas with Jim Carrey. I'm sorry, but it is superior in every way. I am really annoying to watch with, because I will literally just quote the whole movie as I watch it.
I was reminded of you.
I'm obsessed.
In a TikTok recently that I saw, and it was this daughter proving to her dad that the whole movie takes place within a snowflake, and that's where Whoville is.
It does.
Because she's there.
Yeah, that's how they start.
Like, that's like, what are you talking about? Like, this doesn't happen in a snowflake. She's like, yeah. She like rewinds it and like
the lifespan of the snowflake falling before it hits the ground and melts is the entirety of the lifespan of their whole race. You know what I mean? Think about that. It's like basically the dinosaurs before the asteroid hit. Like, that's
what happens when the snowflake hits the ground. Do they just explode? Is that just the end of their world?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I genuinely do think about this more than I probably should.
We need to know. We need the answer.
Every time I watch the movie and I'm reminded that they live in a snowflake, I'm always depressed, because I'm like,
I want Jim Carrey.
They're all going to die.
I want Jim Carrey, because now he's fucking crazy off his rocker, just doing these weird ass paintings. Like he's, you know,
doing
the Book of Revelations in the Bible or something.
Yeah.
I need him to make a painting of what happens when Whoville ends. When the snowflake hits the ground, I need to know what that looks like. Cause I bet you he has thought about that. I guarantee if you ask Jim Carrey what happens,
existential.
He probably has this out there fucking like bananas, like theory about what happens. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Those are the answers we need. Those are the answers we need.
But yeah, that's the superior, I'm sorry, Christmas movie. It's got everything I ever wanted or needed in a Christmas movie. And also the characters, absolutely incredible. I just watched recently too on TikTok, Trixie Mattel was making over this guy who was basically going as Martha May Huvier for his, like, he did a music video that's like supposed to be like a sexy, like Santa music video. And he's basically playing Martha May, because he's like, oh, she's like the hot single woman of like Whoville. And it's like, she's so cunty. And I was like, yeah, not enough love for Martha May. Martha May Huvier.
Yeah.
She's the fucking goat. I love her. She's the best. She's like, oh, the muscles. Like, so good.
And Jade, we all know I can't go through a Christmas season without watching Christmas Vacation. And as we know from a couple of years ago, still holds up. It still holds
You're
up.
You're a man.
But it still holds up. It's a great.
It is. It's still good. Yeah. It's just funny, because that's every single man, straight man that I know. That's their favorite Christmas movie.
It was instilled in me from a young child. Like, we watched it every year. Like, I think that's mine, the only borderline
a Christmas rated story.
Yeah,
it was like that was my family's movie, and it's genuinely because it's like spooky how close it is to like my grandpa's life and upbringing, because he has a brother named Randy who is like, they're in the same age difference. My grandpa was also a little blonde boy with glasses. He also had a cowboy outfit and little BB guns. And his mom also used to tell him that he would shoot his eye out. And his brother, like his, it's literally, it's like spooky, like how close it is to like my grandpa and his family. So it was like a family staple in my house growing up. And it's like also very classic. My grandpa with like the leg lamp and everything, like that's 100% his vibe. He would have done the same thing.
It's a major award.
Yeah. Oh, would you look at it from out here? Like, it's so good. Fragile. Must be French.
The entire neighborhood saw the, was it the majestic glow of sex in the window? They were drawn in by the majestic glow of sex.
So fucking. My mother hasn't had a warm meal in years.
It was in 15 years. She hasn't had a warm meal.
We quoted the Thanksgiving after my aunt like finished making Thanksgiving dinner and she finally sat down with her plate. And we literally were like, Mom hasn't had a warm meal in years. Oh my God.
Amazing. Well, Jade, yeah. we had an arduous, I don't know if I'm using that correctly, debate about whether to do another Christmas movie or to do a movie we've both been looking forward to for quite some time now.
Yes. And I think
we decided we can't in good conscience, as we're getting towards Christmas, do a Christmas movie that we're unsure of, because honestly, Netflix seems to be the place to go and they all look like absolute fucking worse than Hallmark trash. Like,
Hallmark, at least you know what to expect. But Netflix is like, we're going to try to put a twist in there. I'm like, I don't need a twist.
No.
I just need it to be a classic Christmas movie where everything works out. I don't care.
They haven't made a good Christmas movie since Klaus. They haven't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed. But so yeah, we decided
to watch
Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yes. Which is streaming now on Peacock. So
yes.
I'm excited about that because I just bought a subscription because it was Black Friday and it was really affordable. Mm-hmm. And I saw it was on there and I was like, I need to watch this. And Jade, this stars someone who, funny enough, has a movie that he's not in that's
he's back also in theaters right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is
Josh Hutcherson.
Why is everyone obsessed? Why are all the girlies obsessed with Josh Hutcherson? What's the story behind this?
Josh, because listen, despite his name being Josh, I'm just
gay names, red flag.
Gay names, I know, you and I. Yep. But Josh Hutcherson, he is what we like to call an unproblematic king. He's also a short king. He's just always someone that like fellow seems soldier. So genuine. Yeah. He's genuine. He's funny. He's kind. He has always been like an ally to a lot of marginalized groups. And he just seems like an overall, there's just like certain actors that you just get that vibe that you're like, oh, they seem kind of like an asshole or like full of themselves.
He hasn't assaulted any minorities and or sexually assaulted anyone, which is, that puts you above 90% of Hollywood.
He keeps to himself. He's not there's something about an actor who is so prevalent on social media to the point where you're kind of like, I didn't want to know this much about you. Like, he just kind of does his thing, keeps to himself, and he does a great job in everything that he's in. He has a great personality, and his co-stars only have the best things to say about him.
100%.
Also, because of Ballads and Songbirds and Snakes and everyone talking about Hunger Games, I've been seeing a lot of old interview clips of him and Jennifer Lawrence when they were doing the Hunger Games press tour, and just like their relationship, and you just see he just seems like a genuine person. And that, by the way, is the female gaze.
Is it also Jade?
I do think he's handsome.
But is it also Jade? Here's one of my theories too, is do you think it's one of those female gaze things that you appreciate as you get older? Like as you go back and watch, just his character in The Hunger Games. Maybe not for you, but I'm talking for the average person.
Everyone I knew as soon as Hunger Games came out was in love with Josh Hutcherson and of course, Peeta Mellark.
Yes.
And every girl I know was like, Gail who? Liam Hemsworth who? What? No.
See, I've seen this on my TikTok. I've seen some girlies, and this is not all, because most are just what you're saying, are obsessed from day one with Josh Hutcherson. Mm-hmm. But I've seen some of them as their younger selves going, oh, Gail, I wish that had worked out kind of thing. And they're now in my 30s, I'm fucking what? Gail's a toxic piece of shit. Like, you know, only PETA. Well, for sure. Like 100%.
There, you could say there's an age thing. Like, depending on how... So, I was 21 when Hunger Games came out. Oh, so, okay. I think I was already at the age where I understood. But yeah, if you're a teenager, you have a very different perspective. You're going for probably who's the hottest. And Liam Hemsworth is more traditionally attractive guy, right? Like, tall, like, lean muscles, whatever. But, like, Josh Hutcherson... He's a little hottie. He's got that chiseled jaw.
I think it's too, especially upon rewatch of Hunger Games, if you go back and rewatch, like, it's just the little things that he does for Katniss as a character that just might fly under the radar under a first watch. And then you're like,
Pia is peak. I mean, even when I read the books before there was ever a movie, I was a PETA girly from the fucking jump. I was like, he literally, everything is in service of her, but not in a way that's like toxic. It's always... like the thing of like, I love her. And so I'm just going to do what I can to either support her, help her, protect her. And they're all in ways that, again, aren't self-serving or controlling. They're all in ways that guide her to where she needs to be and like, let her be her. And like his softness around her is just, and the way he never pushes her and like, he never pushes their relationship. Like it's just peak male versus Gail. From the jump is like, is that relationship real? And then he's the one that kisses Katniss the first time. And she's like, I just had to do that. And I'm like, okay, I back the fuck off. Like you had so many opportunities. And then now as soon as another man is in the picture, you want to be in the mix, like, sir. And then his whole, like, I mean, we see him by the end, you know, he's toxic, but I'm here for the Josh Hutcherson Renaissance and I've loved him. So first of all, like I said, I've been a Josh Hutcherson girly forever. Like I love his movie, like Detention. He's amazing. And I think that was like pre-Hunger Games. I loved him. He was in this crazy TV show on Hulu. I forget what it was called, but it was like 3 seasons. And it was like these people travel in time to come back from the past. And they're like, you're supposed to save the future. Like very like kind of Terminator, but it's so silly and stupid and goofy and like amazing. And he's amazing in it. Like, love him. He never fell off for me. So I don't know where these other people have been, but
I'm glad he's back. He's in this movie called Five Nights at Freddy's, which for those who don't know, Jade, this is a movie that is based on a video game, Five Nights at Freddy's. Also, though, has been kind of turned into a movie before, something we've reviewed here on the show, Willy's Wonderland, with Nick Cage, of course, and the fabulous eyebrow acting that's done by him in that movie.
Oh, my God. So good. If you haven't listened to that episode, you guys need to go back and listen to that episode.
100%. It's one of the early days. Still, I need to go back and watch that movie. That movie is amazing.
Same.
But Jade, this movie basically, correct me if I'm wrong here, is a movie about a bunch of animatronic animals that go insane. And, well, not insane. Well, I guess kind of insane. And they kill children. That's essentially what it's about.
Yeah, they like come to life at night and they basically murder everyone in the building. And so basically...
they have to be stopped.
Yeah. And so in the game, you're like hired as a security guard and you watch the cameras and you basically have to keep watching the cameras to catch the animatronics like before they come find you and like kill you. And so in the movie, it's like kind of similar. Obviously, it's not very interesting if you're just stuck in the security office the whole time, but kind of same similar situation where Josh Hutcherson doesn't know that this happens at night and he gets hired there and then now kind of is put in a situation where he has to try to save everyone. So
I'm excited to watch this. But Jade, where can folks find us between now and next week?
You guys can follow us on all of our socials. We are on TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram as Our Taste is Trash. And you can also find us on our website, ourtasteistrash.com.
Come back next week when we review our movie. It's Five Nights at Freddy's. It's streaming now on Peacock.
To get ourselves a treat.